It's how we got in, and it's how we continue to stand. And it's sad that so much of the church can't see it. What is grace? Can somebody shout out a description? Undeserved. So if you don't deserve it today, you qualify. If you don't deserve it on any level today, you qualify. If you walked in here feeling beat up and condemned, can I invite you today to lift up your hands with the rest of us and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, all over the room, would you? Come on. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. Even when I'm down and things aren't going right, your love never gives up. I love that song we sang. You remain the same. That'll help you beat that sin in your life. That'll help you break the cycle. There's nothing wrong with gifts of the Spirit and nothing wrong with breaking bondages and breaking chains, but you know what? There are people that have been to so many people and so many different ministries, and they just stay bound. Let me tell you, the real way to get free is just enter in to this and watch what God does. You'll stay free. We doing all right? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, so we don't just receive it when we were born again. It's how we live. Say it with me. It's how we live. Would you say out loud with me this morning, grace makes me wise. I hope you're saying that all the time. Grace makes me wise. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now I want you to jump on down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Can you shout it out this morning? Much more. Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Listen to the promise. Those who receive. If you're not reigning, you need more revelation of the love and grace of God. You don't need more religion. You don't need more rules. You don't need another coping mechanism. You don't need to go to another self-help seminar. What you need is more of a relation, of a revelation of the love of God. You're good. Amen. Wherever you want. Amen. So are you here this morning? How many are glad for Jesus? All right. Much more. Can you say it out loud? Much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. How many are aware of, hopefully as you're staying in, you're aware of the power of God on the inside of you. Jackie and I had the opportunity on this trip to visit someone who I won't mention, but you remember me telling you they had some very supernatural things that were going on in their home. And the talk, it was disturbing Jackie because it was really come. I said, honey, don't worry. When we step in that area, and if you're struggling, just stay with me. He's a liar. It'll stop dead like nothing for the entire time we're there, and it will be a testimony of the power of God. And somebody in here saying, oh, Pastor Lee, you're so amazing. That's just awesome. You're just... No, stop. That is in you. Greater, John said, is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you got to take time to cultivate faith. You can't be watching horror movies and stirring curiosity in the wrong directions and creating imaginations that are working against the knowledge and the light and the truth of the Word of God. You can't be entertaining stuff that breeds fear in your life. This is faith food. You're struggling with fear. Get out of that stuff. Stop it. Realize the curiosity. And what is the old saying? The old adage? Curiosity killed the cat. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish because they lack a knowledge of some things. Let me tell you something. perfect love, his perfect love for you, and a revelation of that love, cast out all fear. There are some very demonic forces in our area, but they have no, that don't even give it a thought. They have no power over the believer with a song in his heart, a spring in his step, with the knowledge that nothing shall by any means harm you. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? We can move forward in victory, free of fear, with the knowledge that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many are glad for Jesus today? Yes. All right. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let me know that you can reign in life. The thing with this book, now let's go back over to Ephesians. The reason that it's put to such high, lofty places is because they didn't understand that this book spends the first three chapters not telling us who we should or could become, but it is making a declaration over who we are and what we look like in the Spirit already. Formalized religion will read a book like this and set it in such lofty, high places as if it were something that was unattainable. Let me tell you something. By grace. Come on, are you here today? By grace, through faith, we have been made the sons and daughters of God. And the Bible says we are seated together with him in the heavenlies. See yourself there by faith, because there's no other way. I can't imagine it. I can't picture it. But I know that what he does is true. How many are glad for Jesus today? Come on, seated with him. This book should not be a book that is untainable. This book should begin to unravel what we are, who we are, what we look like to God in the Spirit. In this book, as Paul writes to a church in Ephesus, he is describing to them his prayer for them as believers, which we'll read, as he begins to pray over them that revelation knowledge would come to them of what? The love of God. And what does that give way to? Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do, come on, able to do exceedingly, come on, we hear it every week, exceedingly, abundantly, above all these little things that God does in our bodies and in our relationships and in provision should not surprise us. For the believer, they should be a norm. How many know we can move forward in life without fear, reigning because of great grace and righteousness by faith? We doing okay this morning? Praise the Lord. That's what this little book is all about. It's not so far out of reach that it's almost unattainable. On the contrary, it's describing what you look like in the Spirit. With that, I know we read Ephesians, or started Ephesians, but I want us to go ahead and start back, if we could, in the beginning, kind of give us a little bit of a refresher course. Can we do that all right? Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There are theologians who believe that this book was actually written without the city that it was going to. It was a book that was circulated to all the churches, was written generally to the church at large. Whether it is or not, I don't care. What I do know is the Spirit of God still speaks through his word, and his model still works. And today, whether this was written to us or not, it certainly, and with all authority I can say, was written for us as we lay into what he has given through his word. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God. Let me tell you something. You need peace? It starts with grace. And you'll see this one time after another. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who I want you to notice, and I don't know how these guys that have written it as such a lofty book can't see what the tense of this verb is, equally in the Greek, that says, who has. Can you say it with me this morning? Has blessed us. That's why I can say with all boldness and thankfulness, I have been and am blessed. Can you do that with me this morning? Woo! Come on, people. I'm blessed because of God, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The way that I used to teach that, the way that it is largely understood, is that this is something that is yet down the road that I have to attain through obedience. Remember what we were talking about for so long, and I'm going to come back to that. Is there a place for obedience in the message? Absolutely. But obedience is the product of trust. And you will never trust somebody that you can't love. The more we receive his love, the more our capacity to love him back is enlarged. And that can only happen through a revelation. Remember Galatians, where we spent so long? Paul said that all of those truths that were so freeing, he received by a revelation of, not necessarily in person to and from, but which I think is really important. Because that same idea and theme is seen on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus could have said to the downtrodden disciples who thought he was dead, he could have said, ta-da, I'm here. Fool ya. Says that their eyes were supernaturally withheld, so they did not know him. And it was his joy to show the prophecies, Moses, the prophets, and I love where it says, and all the scripture, show himself in the word of God and remind them, hey guys, the fat lady hadn't sung yet. That politically incorrect? Nobody laughed. It's not over. I didn't want to be the only one laughing. It's not over, guys. He wanted them to see himself in the word. And listen, the word he was talking about wasn't these epistles. It was the Old Testament. Paul received his revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament. That's amazing. Jesus. We see the same thing going on here. A revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul in Galatians, he said, all this I received by revelation of. I've heard people say, well, Jesus appeared to him and delivered to him. That doesn't even fit. No, it was him getting alone with God and beginning to examine the scriptures, now full of the Holy Ghost, seeking God. He began to get a revelation of. This morning, would you lift your hands up all over the room? Father God, I thank you for a revelation, a deeper, a greater, a higher revelation of who you are in us. I remind myself and our people this morning of Philemon 1:6 that says, the communication of my faith is made super effective through the acknowledging of all the good that is in me in Christ Jesus. That's the opposite of what religion has shoved down our throats. There is good in me now. Come on, shout it out. There is good in me now because of who he is in me. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Woo! So, Father, thank you for a revelation of your Son, fresh and anew as we move through. How many know it happens in layers? Thank God it doesn't happen all over once. It overwhelms us. All right? Blessed be the God, verse 3, and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We have read that and understood it. I have taught it as a future event. He here is saying that in the Spirit, God already saw us there. And for those of us that have stepped in to this undeserved, unmerited grace by faith, he sees us as holy and without blame. That's a miracle. We're glad for Jesus today. Look at what he says. And without blame before him, how? In love. The love of God. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. And if you were here, you remember this. There's only one other place that this word is found in all of Scripture. In the Greek, only one other place. It's found in Luke 2 when the angel is speaking to young Mary, who is going to bring forth the Christ child, and tells her that she is the blessed and highly favored one of God. Same word. Highly favored. This word right here, listen to what it is saying to you and I. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored. One more time, all over the room, would you lift your hands? I don't know how. I don't get it yet. Getting pieces. But I am the blessed and the highly favored. Come on. Some of you need to say it out loud like you believe it. Come on. Some of you need to get your elbows up above your ears. Sometimes that revelation doesn't come until we get serious. Quit being religious and worrying about who's around us. Come on. Blessed and highly favored. Oh, I receive the abundance of grace. Come on. Hands up high, man. My receiver wide open. I receive the abundance of grace in this great gift of righteousness. For I am the blessed and highly favored. This is a declaration over you by God himself, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one, and he addresses this more in chapter 4, so if you're not understanding all this, we'll get there. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom, look at this, how could they have missed this? In whom also we have obtained, we have, shout it out with me this morning, we have obtained an inheritance. All that is his is mine. Well, we'll continue on then. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now he's speaking to them, saying, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, listen people, and never doubt it, after that you believe, you were sealed, Brother Womack says, vacuum packed for good to the day of redemption. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'll tell you what, this is all worship territory, people. Come on. Come on, you need to go home and read this stuff to yourself and just let it run over top of you. Woo! Good stuff. The beauty of his work for us. Which is the earnest of our inheritance under the redemption of purchased possession. purchased possession, paid for in blood. This is why the Apostle Paul says, this is one of the dangers of the grace message, and when the time is right, I'm going to read an article to you by Joseph Prince, who is warning us. The guy that is attacked for being too extreme in grace is warning us of a, what's the word? It's slipping me. A perverted form of grace. Saying, stay, be careful. Remember who is central in this equation. Don't let it ever become a message or a system. It's a tremendous article by the man himself. Tremendous stuff. This is why Paul says we are not our own. It's one of the dangers of the grace message. We begin to think that, oh, I got this. Not the grace message. Not the gospel of grace, not the gospel, but a skewed understanding of what it is. I may know that I don't got this, but in Him I have everything. I'm very glad for Jesus today, all right? Amen. Purchased possession. We were purchased for with His precious blood. We're not our own, for we were bought with a price. How many are glad you're not your own? I'm glad to give up that struggle. Under the redemption of purchased possession, under the praise of His glory. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Unto the redemption of the purchased possession, there we go, under the praise of His glory. I'm going to take some time to talk about that, but not today. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then his prayer begins. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many in here are believing God for loved ones? You have a wayward son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, mother, dad, grandpa, grandma. How many have ever echoed these words, the word works? Then put it to work. Put it to work. Rest in the knowledge of His word. This here, you can take this prayer. If God can use Paul to pray for these people, He can use you to effectively pray for those. This is why I've taught a lot of people in counseling sessions, insert their names in this prayer and watch as God. I watched as my dad got a hold of this back when we were newly baptized in the Holy Spirit on the mission field, began, got a hold of this. I remember us talking about it, where we live way back in the mountains. My dad got a hold of this and began to pray this over his family that was a lot of trouble. And one by one through the years, God did supernatural things, bringing them to Himself. How many know the Word of God works? Listen to what Paul prays. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know, you can stick her name right in there and begin to declare that over that one. And watch as God, I mean with full confidence, childlike faith, knowing that right now what you are doing is more than just a prayer. It is a prophetic word. It's the type of prophecy, listen to me, we hear a lot about the prophetic today. But let me tell you something, when you are speaking God's word, actually His will, which is His word, it is a prophecy that is bullseye every time. You want accurate prophecy? Begin to prophesy the word of God. Come on, are you here today? That'll get you jumping. That is a bullseye every time. Something in the spirit, roots of deception, roots of addiction, roots of heartache, roots of rebellion are being attacked, being cursed, being dried up, as we open our mouths and prophetically speak the word of God. Don't let the devil waylay you. Stand firm, stand strong. Listen, where am I getting those words, stand firm, stand strong? Because when we get to chapter 6, after he's laid down who we are and what we look like to the world, he says, now you need to wake up and realize that your battle is with the unseen realm, but you have overcome because of who he is. So open your mouth. Stand in the evil day. Speak the word of God. Believe who you are and watch me do what I do best. Whew. Come on. This little book winds up in 6 saying, I said all this to tell you, you may have an unseen foe, an organized army in the unseen realm, but one baby I love. Psalms 8 that says, out of the mouth of babes. Feel like you don't know enough? Feel like you don't have any strength? You're too new? You haven't been to Bible school? You don't know? You're just getting started? You're nobody? Let me tell you something. He has ordained strength out of the mouth of babes. All you need to do is hook up with what he says and watch God work. Watch roots die. Amen. And new life take its place. Whew, that's awesome stuff. This isn't just any little old book. For we've spent all this time on grace. Because without an understanding of grace, this little book loses its impact for the reader and for the hearer. Understanding it should deal you a power punch, a nitrous switch. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's worship a minute, shall we? Right there where you are. Lay your Bible down on your lap. Jesus, we worship you. What a great, great, great salvation this is. Reveal yourself to me more than ever before. Let my idea, you still got people that are born again that have come into relationship, but they're still hung up on an earthly image. They're still hung up on an earthly subculture. They're still hung up on identifying with their past. They're still hung up on being identified with some. Today, come on, lift up your hands all over the building. Father, I thank you today for revelation of my identity in Christ. My identity is not found in a buckle and a cowboy hat. Not who I am anymore, Ibby. Can I swing on a horse and get the job done? Yes, but my identity isn't there anymore. My identity isn't in being a pastor. With or without this church, he remains the same. With or without this church, he is still sweet and close. With or without a ministry, he still remains a minister to me. I think one of the greatest things we could do is deliver you from the need of others and expose you to your daily need of Christ. And you would become the answer to those who don't understand that and need somebody like you with authority on your lips. A boldness that comes from an understanding. When I speak the word of God, something begins to generate. May not seem like much to you. How many are familiar with the atom bomb? Can you even see an atom? They were telling me one time that the power that propels a nuclear submarine, if I'm remembering right, I need to go back and make sure. It may be less than this. But it seems to me like they were saying that it was the amount of uranium required to run that massive. I used to have a whole thing that goes through all of the different statistics and all that takes place in those nuclear subs could be found in less nuclear that can be found the size of a baseball. How many of you ever heard that? Jesus said if you had faith the size of the grain of mustard. He said this in response to the disciples who could not get the devil to come out of a young boy who was being tormented. And of course, the Catholics got involved way back when and said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting," which is not found in the original. What it says simply is, "This kind comes not out but by prayer." And then it describes prayer. He says, "For if you would say unto this mountain," there's a place for fasting, but it hadn't have anything to do with you twisting God's arm to get him to do something. That's for you and you alone. Getting quiet, getting before God. But it's not in the original manuscript. Here's what it says. Here's what prayer looks like that cast out devils. Open your mouth with faith believing and tell it to get. I lost some of you. "Wait a minute, you're going to take fasting away from me? Ah, come on." I notice the people that argue and fight for that the most do it the least. The word of God in your mouth. Paul says here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of revelation. Stick that loved one's name in this verse and begin to speak the word of God. It's a prophecy that is bullseye every time. And watch what God does. "They give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened." You ever had an aha moment? You ever read a verse 50 times, and in your night of struggle, you got out of bed, walked over, sat down in a chair, flipped the light on, your jaws are tired from grinding your teeth, you're not sure what to do, and you open up, and it may be the 107th time you've seen this verse, but that night, somebody was praying, and a word from God went, whoom, and come off the page. How many know what I'm talking about? When I was laying in a hospital, they weren't sure whether they were going to have to take my leg off or not. They didn't even understand how I was alive. Busted femur, compound fracture, femur bone out through the inside of my leg, completely shredded and cut completely in two, the main artery and the main vein as big as your thumb, all four points completely. I said, I should have been dead in less than 1 minute. God gave my wife a word, Psalm 42. And she began to speak that word, that he will be as if nothing had ever happened. Let me tell you something. How many are glad for the revelation? What about the rest of you? I guess you're munching. How many are glad for a revelation? Oh, when we need it most. He is faithful. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. How many of you in here have a clue of what his calling is right now? His. Jesus. What does he do for you and I right now? Did I hear somebody say intercede? He intercedes continually for you and I. Continually. You got Jesus praying for you, dude. Right now, there's a whisper in heaven with all the power of who God is as the Son. We saw a little picture of this when Peter, who represents the law, his name, Petra, stone, the I will guy, I will, the rest may forsake you, but I will never. The I will guy, far be it from thee, Lord, that they should do that. Jesus had to rebuke the spirit that was speaking behind him. But how Jesus loved Peter. He said to Peter, before he would be crucified, he said, "Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed. He knew what Peter was going to do. He knew Peter, amidst cursing, would deny that he ever even knew him. Feel like a failure? Think about old Peter. And it's interesting to me that that's who God used to initiate the church on the day of Pentecost. I, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed. Listen, people, lift up your hands all over the room today. He now, because of the work of the cross, isn't just praying for old Peter. He's praying for Leaford. He's praying for you. He's on our side. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. That's his calling. A revelation of who he is for us. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Do you remember us talking about this a few weeks ago? The exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe. This isn't just any power. The more you can open yourself up, the more he wants to dump in. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Oh, man, I know you may get tired of me saying that, but I don't get tired of saying it, so you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. The exceeding greatness of his power towards usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I could go on for another hour right there, but I'm going to stop. 11:35. You can pick yourself up off the floor. Huh? Am I feeling all right? How many are just full? Full right now. Full. Take this word home. Meditate in it. Say, Lord, come on, let it be on your lips. I don't need more church. I don't need to find my special ministry. Listen, ministry will flow out of a knowledge of him. Paul wasn't going around, what am I to be? Am I supposed to be a pastor? Should I be an apostle? Should I be a prophet? Paul fell in love with Jesus, and by revelation of Jesus, who he was began to be expressed as he loved others with the same love that he'd received. Today, Father, all over the room, let's stand and lift our hands. Father, I thank you today for a revelation of the love of God. Deliver us from religion. Religion has been so mean. Yes, sir. Stacy. Who?
Stacy.
Dan and Stacy, yes.
And son, Will. Broke, he's in.
Will.
Will.
All right. He's like, hey, we get an opportunity right now to watch God work. So Dan and Stacy Robinson, the big guy that sits in the back, his son Will, who we've been praying for, he was down with us at the races.
Was it?
Yeah. So we're going to pray. He just had a stroke.
He's in ICU.
And he's in ICU. Would you right now join together in faith? Can we do this right now? Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray together. No fear in here. Listen. We with confidence. It's not your problem to worry about results. You lift up your mouth. Let's do the bullseye. Come on, are you here today? Father, in Jesus' name. I speak to Will in Jesus' name.
Yes.
To Dan and Stacy, the peace and strength of God. And right now we rebuke death.
Yes.
Will has been prayed for.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He's to come into the knowledge of who you are before he goes anywhere.
Yes.
So right now in Jesus' name we arrest death. We rebuke the power of the enemy.
Yes.
We speak life to his body in Jesus' name. Come on, people all over the room. Father, we put ourselves in agreement according to the word of God. We speak the life of God into his body, into his person, Father God, where he lays there. And I see you, Father God, that he would live to see another day, another year, to know the love of God. And if you believe that, shout it out with me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let's worship. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your supernatural ability to arrest the work of the enemy and turn it around. I want to remind you of what James 4:7 said before you leave today. Look, you may think I'm nuts. Some of you, there might be a couple in here saying, man, this is nuts. Let me tell you something. This isn't so nuts when you're facing your personal battle.
Yes.
And you're not sure what to do. I'm here to tell you, maybe the way we express, maybe my wildness is a little new. Can you look past that and hear what God is saying? He's saying that He loves you and He empowers you to not just get slapped around by life, but to be able to stand and begin to say, wait a minute, I don't have to sit here and take this.
We'll get it taught for him. Yeah,
I heard of a guy that not too awful long ago had somebody walk up from another church, accost him in a church, rebuke him for having left that church. When he tried to defend himself, he slapped him. This was a leader in another church, slapped this guy in a grocery store. You know what I'd have done? I tried to knock his head off. What about turning the other cheek? I wasn't preaching the gospel to him. You're going to slap me in a grocery store? I'm going to knock you. I'm going to try to hit you as hard as I can. Some of you need to get wound up. Devil, I've had enough of getting my butt kicked. It's time for you to take a little of your own. And this is what James 4:7 says. Submit to God. How do you submit to God? You humbly say, I am, with all that I have in me, I'm embracing grace and righteousness. Humbly receiving by faith, believing somehow that I am who you say that I am. That's what submitting is. Submitting to God is not submitting to some man or some system or rules. Submitting is saying, I am, and believe what you say about who I am. Submit to God. How do I know that? Because the whole context of James is what we look like in the Spirit and what happens when we don't see that. He says, submit to God. Can we submit to God this morning as we leave? Submit to God. James 4:7. You ought to write this down. Look it up if you don't know it in the heart. Resist the devil. Every time I look back at Barb, I get a kick out of that story. We were talking about it the other day. Everybody's scared because a lady demonically from her hips out was suspended in midair right here in Prescott. Not for the believer. I was excited to get up there, and so should you be. For greater is He that's in me. That's funny. Let's go get it free. Turn it around. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come on. How many are ready to do some resistance? Little fighting back. Come on. We're going to get there. Ephesians 6. How many are glad for Jesus today? Father, thank you for your work and will. A good report. For work that's begun in the Spirit, because we dare to appropriate your word in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Now hold just a minute. Hold just a minute. I'm going to dismiss you as we worship. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, as people are dismissed, I'm going to ask you to take your conversation. I want to encourage you. Don't be in a hurry to leave. We're a family. Find somebody you don't know. Invite somebody out to eat. Take your time. Visit in the lobby. But carry your visiting to the lobby if you would, as we remain here to minister to people. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I would love to personally lead you in a simple prayer, lead you in a relationship with God. It's not hard. And He's here. He loves you. Amen. So we're going to dismiss that way. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you're doing in your people. Thank you for a prophecy in our mouth that makes a difference in the lives of those around us and our own. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. God bless you. Be dismissed in the grace of God this morning. Have a wonderful week. If you're here today, I'm going to remain to pray with you, along with some others, that God will do work in your life today. God bless you as you go. Let's sing.
Comes up, it's a new day dawn.